Well, please turn with me, if you would, to the book of James, chapter 1. Today we're continuing our sermon series in the book of James called How Faith Works. And please turn with me, if you would, to James, chapter 1. Let me begin this morning with a bold statement. I know that it will sound maybe a bit judgy or cranky to some people, but I'm just going to come out and say it. Give me your ear, if you would. Here's what I want to say. If you're not a good listener, then you're not a good Christian. I don't know if you've considered just how essential listening is to the Christian life. But I'll say it again. If you're not a great listener, then you're not a great Christian. And that means that there are a lot of us Christians around who have a lot of room to grow in discipleship. Many of us are not so great at listening to one another in our homes, in the workplace, in our neighborhood. And even more importantly, we're not so great at listening to God's word. And let me be clear as I'm saying these things that when I started studying today's passage in the book of James earlier this week, I wasn't thinking about you all. I was thinking about my own walk with the Lord. And God used this passage to get my attention this week, to challenge me, to help me repent, to help me commit to move forward with His help. And while we're here this morning with the book of James open in front of us, I can't help but wonder if maybe God intends to get your attention this morning as well. We'll focus today on James chapter 1 verses 19 through 21. But I want to pick up with the last verse that we looked at last week, verse 18, because as we've seen already a few times now in James chapter 1, James writes these paragraphs that tend to kind of interlock with each other, like links of a chain. Paragraphs that kind of interlock and link together with what he just finished saying. And so we'll begin this morning where we left off last week in James chapter 1, verse 18. Let's give our ear to the word of the Lord. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. This is the reading of God's word, and God, would you bless the reading of your word this morning? Listening is more essential to the Christian life than most of us have realized. In verse 18, James talks about being born again. By his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. That's pregnancy and delivery language. He brought us forth. He birthed us. He gave us new birth. James is using an image that Jesus himself used for being born again, being born a second time, being born into a whole new life by his sovereign work in us when we hear the word of truth, which is the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ. We're brought into this new life. It's so new, it's like being born a second time. And when you're there at the hospital with a newborn baby, the child is born and mom and dad are crying with joy. At least mom is crying with joy. Dad might just be collapsing sideways with exhaustion. I think it is vastly underestimated how difficult it is on husbands when our wives have babies. It's Speaking of bold statements, I repent of that, actually. I repent of that. They're cherishing this newborn baby there in their arms with love and with affection. And then the nurses come and take the baby away. Why? To do tests. They check the heartbeat of the baby. They do that blood prick. They give a hearing screening to find out how the hearing of the child is functioning even at this new phase, so that they can ensure and do whatever they can do to help this baby mature and to grow in the strongest possible way. And in a similar way, James talks here in James chapter 1 about this idea of us as being born into the family of God, as us being born into new life. And then Pastor James, kind of like a nurse, comes and says, now that you've been born into new life, I've got a few checkups for you. I want to check how healthy you are in a few specific ways. And I want to begin with a hearing screening. I want to begin by checking on how strong and how healthy you are when it comes to listening. Listening to others, and even more importantly, listening to the Word of God. And so James, in effect, puts these two challenging questions in front of us. The first challenging question is this: how healthy is your listening to other people? How healthy is your listening to other people? Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, James says. And we might at first hear that and think, well, what's the connection though? Like, he was just talking about new birth. It seems like a big jump to go from talking about being born again all the way over to how we interact with other people, how we listen to other people, how we speak with our words, nitty-gritty issues like anger and grumbling. How does he make that jump from there to there, we might wonder? But it might help us to realize that James is not alone in seeing a connection here. If you turn over a few pages to the right in your Bible to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, you'll see that John makes a very similar connection to the connection that James is making here. John says in 1 John 4, 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another. This is one another love, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born from God. There's that new birth language again, right? And whoever has been born of God knows God. And verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God. John and James are making this similar connection between this profound idea of finding new life in Jesus, this profound idea of being born into the family of God, and this very nitty-gritty stuff. How do we love other people around us? And James goes further than using the general language of loving one another. He gets a little more specific. How well do you listen? What about your patterns of how you speak to other people? What about patterns of anger? This would be an important exploration in how healthy you are in your new life in Christ. How healthy is your listening to other people? I know that in my life, I think back to when I first started leading worship here at this church. That was back in the church plant days, when our church's founding pastor, Tab Trainer, was still kind of getting things going and getting things off the ground here. And they made the risky and highly questionable decision to ask me to lead worship one Sunday morning. It was risky and it was questionable, but they asked me to do it. In those days, I was a little younger and a lot more arrogant. And Tim Tatum loves to tell the story about how he saw me one day, and I looked absolutely forlorn, devastated in my soul, upset so deeply that the only thing he could imagine that must have been bothering me is he assumed one of my parents must have just died unexpectedly. And so he came to comfort me in my grief. He came to comfort me in this deep affliction and suffering that I was obviously walking through. And he asked me what happened. And I told him what had happened. Tab wanted to change the order of songs I had picked for Sunday morning. You self-righteous people. Laughing at me. I think that's a pretty good picture of what it looks like to be reluctant to listen, quick to speak my own opinion, and quick to get upset with others. I think it's a pretty good illustration of what it looks like to do the opposite of what James is calling us to do. But it's not just back then in my life. I've seen these things in my parenting. Any other dads here ever come home kind of aloof, kind of distracted by the things you're doing at work? You're kind of halfway disinterestedly hearing what your kids are saying without paying attention until something happens or something loud crashes. And then all of a sudden we're quick to speak and we're quick to impatient anger with our kids. Teenagers, have you ever seen these kinds of patterns in your relationship with your parents? Reluctant to listen to mom? Quick to reply with your own opinions? Quick to get upset? One of the ways where I've had to learn lessons about this, one of the ways where we can tend to fumble James 1:21 is as it relates, or excuse me, James 1:19 is as it relates to walking with people who are in the midst of suffering. You're listening to someone who's hurting, who's suffering, who's walked through so much. And there is a call there to be quick and eager to listen, slow to speak, slow to be impatient. And yet there's something in us sometimes as we're listening to people who are just kind of wrestling in their pain and their anguish. And we just kind of, maybe not physically, but in our hearts, we're just looking at our watch. We're just looking at the clock and thinking, how much longer do I have to keep listening to this? When do I get to share my perspective? I've also been there on the other side of suffering when I'm the one walking through a trial. And other people are trying to share their input with me. And I'm just thinking to myself, who are you to share? What do you know about what I'm going through? I don't have any interest to listen to you right now. What do you know about what I'm going through? Reluctant to listen. Quick to speak myself. Quick to become irritable toward those who are trying to love me. In so many ways, we keep falling back into these old life patterns, and our Savior through James 1:19 is calling out to us and he's reminding us, you're born again. You're born again into a whole new kind of life. And so you don't have to keep living in those old life, old self patterns. You've been set free to live a radically countercultural kind of life. So you can repent right now. You can confess your sins of anger. You can confess how you've been quick to speak and how you've been reluctant to listen to others. You can confess. You can come to the Lord for forgiveness and mercy because Jesus' blood is more than enough to cover all of our mistakes and failures of anger and irritability and arrogance in the past. His blood that he shed on the cross while he was dying for our sins, it's more than enough to cover our forgiveness. And there at the cross, we also see a picture of our freedom. Because we've died with Christ and we've been raised together with him in his resurrection into a new life. A new life that we're set free to live as we follow the Spirit and walk no longer reluctant to listen and quick to speak our own opinions and quick to get angry, but now quick to listen. Quick to listen, eager to hear more. Caring and compassionate enough to ask follow-up questions about other people, to listen longer. Humble enough to not be offended when someone points out a way that we need to grow. We're quick and eager to listen, slower to speak, slower toward irritability, impatience, and anger. This is the life that Jesus has brought us into, and James is calling us to it, and he calls us to it with this powerful reasoning. Did you notice the reason that James gives in James 1:20? Here's why we're called out of this lifestyle of being slow to listen and quick to speak and quick to anger, because the anger of man, it doesn't accomplish the life that God is calling us into. It doesn't accomplish the things that God has. It doesn't accomplish the better goals of God. And so here's where James's logic, here's where his reasoning is just powerful. You think about those situations in parenting where you're like, I've got a godly goal. I want my kids to obey. And I got Bible verses to back up my desire. Amen? And so what do we do in order to get to that obedience? James warns us, the anger of man does not bring about the righteousness of God. Even when your goals are right, human anger doesn't accomplish God's agenda. Or you think about pursuits in your own life. You think about other things that we want, maybe even good things. James is warning us, human anger does not accomplish what God wants to see accomplished. So stay away from it. Instead, walk in this newness of life. Walk out your new life in Christ in this radically different, radically countercultural kind of way. It says, I'm eager to listen. I'm okay not getting in the first word or the last word. And I'm not going to try to accomplish good goals through bad means like human anger. We're called to live a new life that is growing stronger and growing more healthy as we grow in Christian maturity. In loving other people, in compassion, in care for them, in humility. And what does that look like? Boots on the ground? It looks like being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Here's the first challenging question that James puts in front of us. How healthy is your listening to other people? But here's a second challenging question. And this one might be a little more challenging, and it's a lot more important. So let's give our attention to it. The second challenging question is this. How healthy is your listening to the Word? How healthy is your listening to the Word? These verses are kind of building momentum as they move toward verse 21. Therefore, James says at the beginning of verse 21. And by the way, just Bible study tip. When you're reading through things in the Bible and you see that word therefore, do you know what it means? It means this is the point of what I was just saying. It means this is what I'm really getting at. And so if you look for the therefores, it's a very helpful clue in Bible study, because sometimes we kind of get lost along the way, or think, I don't know, like, what's important here? What really matters? When the author says therefore, he's saying, this is what matters out of what I just said to you. This is what's really important here, so listen up at this point, even if you didn't track with all the reasoning leading up to it. Therefore, put away, he says, put away all filthiness and the rampant wickedness. Now, by the way, there's only one main verb here in verse 21. Grammatically speaking, in the original language, there's only one main verb. That one main verb with the emphasis placed on it is the verb receive. That what comes before it, putting away filthiness, putting away wickedness, that's a participial phrase. It's not the main point that James is making, but I think if you use kind of the listening analogy, it's like, you know what? Sometimes in order to hear better, we got to clear some of the wax out of our ears. And I think James is saying it goes along with receiving the word that you clear the wax out of your spiritual life, that you get rid of wickedness, that you get rid of sin, that you get rid of the unrepentant patterns of sin in your lives. Get rid of those things. But then here's what he's building momentum toward. Here's what this whole paragraph is leaning into as it goes down the slope. If you've ever been skiing before, you get more and more momentum as you go down the slope. Here at the bottom of the slope, James has all of this momentum running behind him. And he says, therefore, here's what I'm really trying to put in front of you. Receive with meekness, the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Here's a priority for the health of every single believer. How healthy is your listening to and receiving from the words? Question, who is James talking to here? Who is he addressing? Is he talking to non-believers? Telling those who don't yet believe in Jesus that you need to receive the word with meekness? Well, if you're here today as someone who's not yet sure what you think about Jesus, I would encourage you to receive with meekness, to receive with humility, the word of God. I would encourage you to do that. But that's not actually who James is addressing directly here in this passage. James is not saying, hey, unbelievers, you need to receive the word. He's saying, hey, believers, you need to receive the word. And what is the word that we need to receive? Remember what James said back in verse 18? He brought us forth by the word of truth. It's the message of the gospel. It's the message of the gospel that you heard and believed on the day when you were born again. On the day when God brought new life into your dead soul. It's that same message of the gospel that you heard on the day when you first believed. That James now says, believer, you know what is so important for you to do? What's so important is for you to keep on receiving. For you to keep on listening to, for you to keep on benefiting from that same old story, that same old message that you received on the day when you first believed. That's what's so important for you, James says. James is calling believers to keep on receiving the word with humility. He doesn't say, now that you're born again by the word of truth, now all you need to do is muster up your strength and do discipleship. Sometimes we kind of think that way, don't we? We kind of think that the gospel of grace is the message of the Bible that non-believers need to hear in order to come to faith in Jesus for the first time. But then after that, maybe we say, after that, there's kind of this message of pull yourself up, muster your strength, and just muscle through it in discipleship. But that's not James's perspective. It's not Paul's perspective. It's not the Hebrews' perspective. It's not Jesus' perspective. James's perspective is, once you've come to faith in Jesus, you still need the gospel. Once you've come to hear and receive and believe in and embrace the gospel message, you know what you need to do next? You need to keep on hearing and receiving and believing in and embracing the same gospel message that is found here in the pages of the Bible. It's the same message that brought you to life is the message that keeps us going. By the way, Paul said the exact same thing. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. That's how Paul breaks it down, and it's the same thing that James is saying here. The message that you believed from God's word, the message of the life-transforming, soul-saving work of Jesus Christ, who in love and grace and mercy gave himself for us so that by faith in him we might live forever with him. That same message that we heard the day we first believed is the good news that we need to keep on hearing as we run the entire race of the Christian life. There's a friend here in this church, a friend of mine, James Johnson, over here. Shared some of his story up here on this stage a few months ago. Shared some of his story about how he used to live a life that revolved around drugs. And now he's living a life that's revolving around Jesus and Jesus' church. Love his story of transformation in his life that he shared up here a few months ago. And I love my brother James. And now, as one transformed man, he's living his life and seeking to mentor and serve others and help them in times of transition in their own lives. And there at Wayside Cross, James now has opportunities to invest in other brothers whose lives are being changed. And James and I were talking a little while ago about some of the people that we've met over time at Wayside Cross and the kind of revolving door that there is there in any rescue mission kind of environment where guys come and they go and so forth. And James and I were talking about it, and James was sharing with me that after being around Wayside long enough, there are some patterns that he can see that are very concerning to him. James pointed out to me that guys come and they start to hear from God's word. They start to listen to God's truth. There start to be some changes in their lives. And then they say this phrase, I got this now. I got this now. And what happens after a guy says, I got this? Crash and burn. That's what happens after you say, I got this. Crash and burn. And so James was telling me he just wants to make a t-shirt with big, bold, block letters that says, you don't got this. I told him, I want one of those t-shirts too, because I need to see that when I look in the mirror. You see, it's not just guys at Wayside who need to be reminded, no, you don't got this on your own. It's all of us who are living the Christian life who need to be reminded, you don't got this. You heard the word of God preached to you before. You've accepted and begun to be changed by the word of God and the message of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. But don't transition from there to saying, now I got this. I can do this on my own. Apart from me, you can do how much? Nothing, according to Jesus. John 15:5. Listen, James, Pastor James here in the Bible is reminding us this morning, the Holy Spirit through his word is reminding us, we don't got this. The Christian life is not about hearing and receiving the grace of God and hearing and receiving from the word until we get to Christian maturity and then we take over and do it on our own. That's not what the Christian life is all about. Christian life always and inescapably involves this dimension of continuing to receive, continuing to listen, continuing to hear, continuing to keep our eyes on Jesus, and continuing to listen to his voice. That's what discipleship is made of. And as some of you maybe are getting a little uncomfortable at this point because you're like, well, isn't there an active dimension of the faith? Like, shouldn't we be living out our faith in some way? Yes, and we're going to get there next week. I promise you. Some of you have maybe peeked forward to the next verse. Don't be hearers only, but doers. There is a dimension of Christian faith that involves going and doing. In fact, our Lord Jesus himself, when he told the parable of the Good Samaritan, he ended that with the words, go and do likewise. There is a going and doing dimension of discipleship. But James here makes very clear, before you get to the go and do, it starts with the kneel and listen. It starts with the bow and receive. And interestingly, in the book of Luke, chapter 10, when Luke tells us the parable of the Good Samaritan and says and ends with those words of Jesus, go and do likewise. You know where Luke takes us next? The very next verse, the very next thing Luke starts to talk about after this strong statement of Jesus, go and do likewise. How am I going to go and do likewise, Jesus? Luke puts right next to it this true life story, this real world account of the day that Jesus went to visit the home of Mary and Martha. And as some of you know, if you've heard that story before, Martha is busy doing and doing and doing. Martha, God bless her soul, is a doer. And I like people like Martha. We need people like Martha around, don't we? But Martha is doing and doing and doing. Jesus is here in the house. She's working in the kitchen. She's taking care of all the things that need to be done. And she's painfully aware that nobody's helping her. In all her doing, she's the only one doing. And so finally she comes with a complaint to Jesus. And she says, Jesus, can't you see? Can't you see that my sister is just sitting there and doing nothing to help me? Luke says, she was distracted with much serving. Did you know it's possible, even in good things like doing, that it can become a distraction? And so she comes to Jesus distracted, and the Lord answers her, Martha, Martha. You know, he says her name twice. I don't fully know why he says her name twice. Maybe it's just compassion. Maybe he needs to say it twice just to get her attention. Maybe she's having a hard time listening at this point. In all of her doing, in all of her action, in all of her activity, maybe she's stopped listening. And so Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. One thing. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. And some of us really like, you know, action-oriented people are like, what's the one thing? What's the good portion? Just tell me and I'll do it. And I think Jesus subversively doesn't tell her what the one thing is. But I think she knew exactly what he was talking about, because what was it that Mary was doing while Martha was just doing and doing and doing and serving and serving and serving and giving and giving and giving? What was Mary busy doing? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's all. She was just there near Jesus, in his presence, at his feet in humility. And what was she doing? She's hearing his teaching. She's listening to his words. She's just receiving from Jesus. She's just receiving from Jesus. And Jesus says to Martha and to anxious and distracted souls like mine, Josh, Josh, you're anxious and distracted by much serving. You're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. And Mary, who's been sitting at my feet, listening to my words, receiving from me grace upon grace upon grace. Mary, who's just been sitting here doing nothing but receiving, she's chosen the good portion. And it will not be taken away from her. Listen, if you're here today and you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to invite you even right now to take up a place on the floor alongside the rest of us disciples in a posture that just says, Jesus, I'm just here to get everything from you. I'm not here to say, look at all that I've done for you. I'm just here to receive. And I'd invite you even today to come to Jesus and sit at his feet and receive from him everything you need for forgiveness, for new life, for joy, for satisfaction, for strength to keep going. I'd invite you even today to come and sit at the feet of Jesus and receive from him grace upon grace. But if you're here today and you are a believer, you know what God is calling us to do through this passage? He's calling us to keep on being receivers. He's calling us to keep on receiving. Now, how do we receive? I mean, for me, as I'm studying this, as I'm thinking about it, this is just giving fresh motivation for all of the classic spiritual disciplines, right? It's not like this passage gives us some revolutionary new method to live the Christian life. But what does it give us? It gives us fresh motivation and fresh relishing of the opportunities we have to sit at the feet of Jesus and have our receiving time with him, reading the pages of Scripture in the morning. Why do we do that? Not because I'm supposed to, but because it's receiving time. This is my opportunity to receive from Jesus. time set aside periodically for prayer and fasting. Why do we do that? Not because I'm supposed to, but because it's an opportunity to receive from Jesus. Showing up at my fellowship group on Wednesday morning at 6:30 a.m. Why do I do it? Not just because I'm supposed to, because it's receiving time when Jesus will use His people to speak into my life and I get to have an opportunity to continue to receive the Word spoken by other people into my heart afresh. Sunday morning worship, why are we here? Not because we're supposed to, because this is a time of receiving from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's here. Because He loves us so much that He gave His life for us. He died on the cross and we were crucified with Him. He rose again in new life and we are given new life together with Him. And He says, gather together and I'll be there with you. And you'll be able to receive afresh from my word. And you'll be able to listen, Jesus says. And you'll be able to hear and you'll be able to receive the grace upon grace upon grace that you're going to need today to keep you going. And going and going until that day when finally we see Him at last face to face. So for now, this passage, it calls us to be receivers. It calls us to find our strength and our power and our energy for the Christian life, not in how strong we are, not in all that we do, not in all of our strategies, not in all of our plans, not in our own efforts. But you know, the strongest, the most mature, the most God-honoring believers are those who find their strength in receiving and receiving and receiving. So brothers and sisters, hear this word from James. Therefore, keep on receiving with meekness, the very thing we're eager to do when we see clearly. Therefore, keep on receiving with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls.